Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
The morning, lovely track there by Sinach. Yes, no one else will do. Nobody can be like our Jesus. Nobody is like our Lord, our salvation, our righteousness. He's our supplier, he's our sufficiency. He is the God who is faithful, the one who is compassionate, whose compassion fails not. Father Lord, we just thank you because that revelation is great, that no one is like you. You are more than enough, you are more than sufficient, you are all that we need. And so Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you Lord for your word. Thank you for the insight. Thank you for how you continue to speak even to the church globally. You begin to reveal yourself in diverse manners. We thank you for your spirit that guides us into all truth, that teaches us. Bible says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, we thank you for your word of truth that is just the material and the resource that the Spirit used to bring to remembrance, to teach us, to correct us, you know, in righteousness. The Bible says so that the man of God can be thoroughly furnished into all good works. Father, we pray that your word that comes for today as we share, it will be a blessing to every one of our listeners. Father, we ask that they'll be able to apply themselves to take advantage of this word and utilize it, to deploy it when it's necessary. Grant them the capacity to master every situation and circumstance that they find themselves in, knowing that it's in you they live, they move, and have their strength. Father, we ask all of this and we thank you. Spirit of the living God, take total and absolute control. Let your will be done. Oh, we thank you for how far you've brought us in this wonderful year 2026. You've been doing a great thing. We hand everything over to you again. We reiterate that you are Lord of all, and you are Lord in every area and arena of our lives. Take total and absolute control. We ask this of you, and we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Right. Good morning, lovely people. Welcome to another edition of Morning Dew. Yes, today we want to look at something that will give us some practical tips to moving forward, okay, to pressing forward to our walk in the Spirit. You know, and it's incredible the kind of insight that we have in the Word of God if we will do our due diligence. We are on a journey of faith, and pressing forward is a powerful call to action. So every time we hear the word press forward, I'm reminded of the Israelites when they got to the Red Sea, you know, and they thought, okay, what are we going to do here? And the Lord, you know, instructed Moses that they should press forward. I pray you press forward regardless of what you are seeing. Once God has given the approval, your own is to follow through, to execute, all right, to obey that commandment. It's about moving towards the future, moving towards your goal with intention. Okay, so pressing forward is an intentional act of moving towards the future. You need to be guided by divine purpose God has, you know, laid out for each one of us. So he will, you know, reveal to you his purpose, okay, on your assignment, your calling, whatever that is, and instructs you along the way. We see this very evidently even in the life of Moses. Okay, he was called to be a deliverer. If you read the scriptures, I can't remember the exact scriptures right now, but the first time the Lord was having a conversation with Moses, he called him, and you know, Moses understanding, Bible says there's a way that seems right. He went and only took out an Egyptian, and God had to come now. Come, chairman, this is not how this plan is going to be executed. It's not by killing people like that, no. And he was taken to the wilderness to understand and get clarity on the will of God. I pray that for every one of you that God has called and given an assignment, that you will be able to have that time to tabernacle, to fellowship, to come into communion, common union, be of one spirit. He that is with the Lord is one spirit. May you come into that communion and fellowship with him, even as he's instructing you specifically concerning your call and your assignment. So a call to action. This is beautifully encapsulated, right, the word, okay, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. So we're going to have a look at that scripture. It'll be our anchor scripture for our session today. Remember, we're looking at pressing forward, okay? So you have authority, you have power, okay? How do you press forward? How do you step into that? How do you activate what has been delegated and given to you and deploy them? You must understand certain principles, okay? The Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? Amos 3:3. So if we're walking with God, we're walking with the Spirit, we must have an understanding what are the resources. For standards, you know, the first thing is language. He must be able to communicate with you, and you communicate with him, and be able to understand without any hindrance, without any barrier. So language is important. Relationship is key. You must establish a relationship. Are you known by the Lord? Does the Holy Spirit know you? and you know, vice versa. You know, you don't want to be one of those that says, depart from ye workers of iniquity. So they did work, they did some ministry, but God was not approving what they did. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. So it's essential not only that we know him, that we are known by him, we hear him, that we're able to be still before him, we're disciplined, we can do our due diligence, you know, we can spend time in his presence. In his presence, the Bible says fullness of joy. In his presence, there's healing, there's restoration, there's miracles, there's so much within the presence of God. So we want to make sure that whenever we stand before him, we are maximally taking advantage of everything that can be, you know, utilized to cause us to press forward in our calling, press forward in our, you know, assignment. Right, so this call to action is beautifully encapsulated, yes, finally got it, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. And here we see the apostle, you know, Paul, talks about forgetting what lies behind and straining forward, okay, to what lies ahead. So the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things are passed away. You know, we attend the funeral of people that have passed away. So once you attend the funeral, they are history, they are dead. There are a lot of things from our BC days before knowing Christ that we have to make sure are dead. They cannot still be operating in your lives. Okay, they cannot be still influencing you in any way, shape or form. They will become a hindrance and a barrier to your maturing, your growing and understanding, you know, this pressing forward and walk in the spirit. All right, so that had to be said. So we're a new species, so there's a new intention, there's a new design, there's a newness of hearts. We're going to look at this in some details, and Paul just was trying to get us to understand that whatever lies behind, we're straining forward to what lies ahead, okay? But we have to ask ourselves, what does that really mean to press forward in our daily lives, especially when we are faced with challenges and distractions in the modern world? Now, that is worth exploring. Okay, so let's look at, I want to first look at the same rendition, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, in King James Version, okay? And then I'll look at it in the TPT, which is the Passion Translation. Okay, so the King James says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. So there are things that are behind, okay? Not that he has reached his destination. He recognizes he's still in the process. He recognizes he's still journeying, but he has learned one thing that helps him to press forward, okay? And this one thing I do, he says, forget the things that are behind. So I've been through some experiences, I've been through some trauma, I've been through some hard times, but I'm reaching forth, okay, onto those things which are before me. Now, you need to recognize, and I'm sure a lot of us can bear us witness, sometimes we're in the valley of indecision. Anybody been there before? Okay, do I go left? Do I go right? And then we don't know what to do. And if you're not careful, do I go left? Do I go right? It's 5 o'clock. Do I go left? Do I go right? 6 o'clock. Do I go left? Gentlemen, what are you doing in the valley of indecision? It's like a loop. We can be lost sometimes in these loops. Okay, and so it's something we have to be very careful of. You just keep playing, like, sound like a broken record, but you're doing nothing different. You're still in the same cycle, you know, and so sometimes we have to break out of some cycles. And so this is what we're looking at. We're talking about pressing forward, making sure that we don't get stuck in those loops. We're not stuck in the valley of indecision. We're not going to much depth with that, but there's a lot we can do. People can be healed from trauma. You need to just know how to deal with that. People can be restored, okay? People can be trained, okay? You can know how to, you know, wage war against bad habits like procrastination. Anybody have that? Where you want to do, you just keep postponing. Some of us leave things, you know, there's a deadline on Monday, then Saturday night. In fact, Saturday night is very early. Sunday afternoon, you'll be stressing, drinking coffee, and you want to sleep. What are you trying? You had a whole 2 weeks, but we leave it to the end. Anybody been there? Those of you know who I'm talking to, you know, that has to change. It's not to your advantage. God help you if you fall asleep. That's the end. Monday morning will come and you are not ready, but you had 2 weeks. You know, the Lord will deliver us from those cycles in Jesus' name. But again, if we're not studying to show ourselves, to understand that these are the things we're dealing with and how to overcome them, then we still remain. And you know, if you continue doing the same old thing and expecting a new result, there's a name they call it. It's not a very good name, you know, to carry on doing the same old thing and expecting a different outcome. It's called insanity. All right, so we will not be insane in Jesus' name. All right, so to break out, to move forward, to be on your walk, to be focused, you have to break out of certain things. You have to decide intentionally to press forward. Okay, so now what have we learned from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13? Reaching forth to do things that are before. What are your goals? Where are you going? We know the case of the Israelites. You know, we really love the story about these interesting people, and they're no different from you and I. They were in the captivity in Egypt, and God wanted to deliver them. We have the many stories of what he dealt with them. You know, very stubborn people, very, you know, what's the kind of, had stony hearts, not taking instruction, and that's why they tarried so long in the wilderness, because God was trying to change and transform them, but they were not willing to change. Brethren, if we're going to, you know, press forward, we have to have a teachable heart, we have to have coachable hearts, we have to be people that are willing and obedient to change, and to be open to change, and to take possession of what is true. All right, we'll look at that also in some detail. Now let's look at the Passion Translation of the same Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. It says, I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. Okay, so he recognizes, the writer here, he does not depend on his own strength. However, I do have one compelling force. Have you got a compelling force? Have you got something that drives you? And he says, I forget all of the past as I have fastened my heart to the future instead. Okay, so you have a choice. Either you look back, may you not turn to pillar of salt like Lot's wife by looking back, or you decide to look intentionally forward and fix your gaze. You need to fix your gaze on the goal ahead. Okay, so what are your goals? What have you determined to do? What is it that you want to achieve? All right, so maybe you're in academics and you want to get a degree. All right, so what are you expected to do? Well, I've enrolled for 3-4 years, whatever the curriculum length is. Okay, there are modules you have to take. You've selected your modules. Okay, you have to attend those modules. And like I was explaining to our director here, you know, it was very interesting that everyone who comes into particularly the academic arena at higher level, your capacity to study and do research is a great skill if you're going to make progress in that environment. So every lecture that you attend, every instruction that is given to you, you must be able to hear clearly, come to an understanding, and apply what has been told. Now, your ability to study, to first capture that information, okay, is a very great skill. Good students know how to use different tactics or methodology to capture everything that is said. So some people will come in there, have a look at the lecturer, and they'll take in what they can remember, and what happens to what they can't remember, well, that goes out of the window. Some will take down notes, so they start writing notes. Depending on how fast the lecturer is speaking, they capture as much information as possible. Okay, the concept of the note is that that's documented, that is something you can take away. It is a retrievable format, so you can open your notes again later in the afternoon, later another day, in 3 weeks' time, and look at what was said. But how fast can you write? Well, luckily with technology, there are better ways of capturing information. You have your phones, you have a recording device, so you can take a recording. Trust me, everything, as long as you can pick the voice, you know, will be captured in that recording using better technology. That's a much better strategy, and you can play that back as many times as you want to, and it will help your study. Then you move on from that raw information. Okay, that's data. then you have to process the data, do some research, go and study further, read some articles, okay, get to some academic portals, okay, to get down to some basics. Right now we have AI, maybe that will help you if you're allowed to utilize that based on the criteria given to you. All right, so in same thing with our scriptures, there are processes that we have to go through to capture the information, to do our due diligence, to study, to show yourself approved, to have an understanding of what you are being instructed by the scriptures to do. Then you follow through, make sure you're activating what needs to be activated, you're stepping out and applying yourself. So he says, I do not rely on my own strength. So you see, rather than relying on your strength or your memory, you can use something to capture the information, okay, to accomplish whatever you're doing. I have this compelling focus, okay, one compelling focus. So he forgets whatever happened last week, last lesson, but I'm focusing at this moment. I'm maximally concentrating, you know, just like the magnifying glass. And when you focus the rays, it's able to burn dry paper. Okay, but that's because all those energy, all those rays are brought into a condensed laser sharp focused ray of light. Very powerful. So you converge all your energies, you focus on this, you know, expected goal or outcome. And if you do your due diligence, you apply every module, go to every session, do what you're supposed to do, do your research, you know, do your assignments, you will come out, you know, with the kind of achievement and goals that you're expecting, and then you can go to the next module. That's how it ought to be. You don't need to lean on anybody else. You don't need to do anything that's illegal. You don't have to break the rules. Just do what it is you've been told to do, and you will get and arrive at the same destination. So a bit of practical application there. So now he says this verse emphasizes the importance of letting go of past accomplishments. So whatever you did yesterday, sufficient is whatever happened for yesterday, and tomorrow has its own challenges. So you focus on the future. The Bible says that's how we should focus. Yesterday has done its own. Yesterday's anointing may not be adequate for today. So today is a fresh day. We need a new anointing, new grace, and we tackle today's challenges with a new posture and a new frame of mind. And the Lord will give us the victory we want in Jesus' name. So he says, focusing on the future, encouraging believers to move forward with faith. Okay, having faith in the guidance of the Spirit, having faith in the instruction of what you have been taught and you have learned, and understanding the purpose. So there must be faith and purpose. Okay, so finding a balance, okay, through God's guidance is very essential. We live our lives in spheres, all right. We have our relationships, we have finances, different things, and we need to be able to make tracks in each and every one of these. So as you can well imagine, if you're trying to press forward financially, you're trying to press forward your relationship, you're trying to press forward with your academics, you're trying to press forward in your marital situation, if you're in a family, it is a tall order. But all these aspects of your life where you're trying to press forward demand some effort. Remember, we looked at that definition. It says that he's strained, you know, he's making an effort. There is some effort required. So in every sphere of our lives, we have the opportunity to delve into this same question that we're asking. What does it mean to move forward? All right. So every area we have such conversations. You could be talking to your health coach. All right. You could be talking to your financial coach. You could be talking to your relationship coach. You could be having discussions with your spiritual mentors. It could be about your own personal development, your CPD. In each of these spheres, connecting with a coach, a mentor, somebody that has gone down the routes, somebody that is quite knowledgeable about what it is you are still trying to grasp and have an understanding, it's a very strong relationship to invest in. You must understand that each of these people are different. We talked about the tutor, the teacher, okay? Then you talk about maybe your lecturer, all right? They teach differently, all right? You know, one of the things you find with the lecturers when they're teaching, they're very deep. They don't waste time with, you know, too much example. You go and sort out, do research and understand the fundamental. They will guide you where you need to go. but they're not going to waste that and be picking out the little bits for you, not at all. So this is where your own study skills, your research skills comes in, but they're a good guide, and they can tell you when you're going off track, when you've missed the criteria, when you're not on point. So that's why they mark your assignments and your tests and all of that. So it is in life. These people have been there. They can look at you like a little child. They can tell when you're trying to stand, okay, you're trying to take your first baby steps, you know, and you're wobbling and all of that. That doesn't mean you're not going to walk. You know, you just need some rigidity, you just need some tactics, you need to begin be patient as well, okay? You need to do your exercise, you need to build the strength in those limbs, all of those things. They know that. And so when you want to give up, when you become anxious, when you become fearful, when you start saying things like, oh, I can't, we know that one. They say, no, just sit down, I'll break it down to some steps you can take. So that's what we're looking at today. How do we press forward? Breaking it down into baby steps. Breaking it down into bite chunks that we can handle. And so it is with our life. So the insights gained, okay, from understanding transformation, you know, helps us in our own transformation, and it offers a path to greater balance and joy by aligning right more closely with God's plan. I'll take that slowly. The insight you gain from these relationships, from these conversations, from those teachings, from those step-by-step, from those bite-sized chunks can be transformative, okay? Offering you a pathway to a greater balance, all right, and joy by aligning more closely with God's plan for your life. Hello? The Lord will help us to understand these things in Jesus' name. So obviously you must be hungry enough to discover that God has a plan for your life. Then you must ask the conversation, how do I know God's will concerning me? How do I fulfill my life's purpose? How do I press forward? These are very powerful questions that must be answered. Do not leave it till you get an answer. Do not leave it till you can meet people that can offer you little step by step bite chunks to answer that. How do I go about it? What is it that I must do? Okay, so all of these things are so important, and I pray they will open up a path, okay, for us to begin to take the steps and to walk with the Spirit. Now, one key aspect, okay, that must be explored, all right, was the importance of taking every thought captive, right? So every single day, their thoughts, all right, they're just like, imagine if you look at the parts that the planes are flying to different parts of the world, it's a very comprehensive cobweb of routes. Okay, so they're flying in different directions at different times to different destinations, and so there are thoughts that constantly fly in, okay, and around us. But the Bible says that every man is lured, okay, so their thoughts, their suggestions, every man is drawn by his own lust into temptation. So you have to leave the confines of God's presence, the confines of God's security, okay, to be looking at what doesn't concern you, or looking for what is not lost. Hello, somebody. Okay, to be distracted, basically, all right, into things that are not really what you're to be focusing on. And once you're drawn by your own lust, the Bible says those thoughts take, you know, they take an anchor, and then sin is conceived. This we can find in James chapter 4, I believe it is. Okay, yes, James chapter 4 tells us this process. You know, every man is drawn by his own lust into temptation, into sin. Except you are lured away, tempted, then thoughts coming and flying in different directions is not a problem to you. It's you opening up yourself to be drawn away. Bible talks about the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. If any of these things are used to ginger you out of the security and the protection that God has put around you, then you're going to be drawn into temptation. And once that thought has conceived, then sin will come. All right? So in the same vein, if we are aware of this process and we can resist being drawn away by every thought. Now let's look at it this way. Every thought is somebody's conversation. Hey, what do you think about this? What about the guy that? Listen, you don't have to. Listen, from now till tomorrow, everybody can be asking your opinion. Are you with me? No, I'm focused on this. I'm putting my energy into that. I don't have time for that right now. That's not my focus. That's not my aim. Do you understand what I'm talking about? But if you're drawn into every conversation, you're drawn to give your opinion on everything out there, how much time are you going to spend on what you need to be focusing on? Every man, when he's drawn away, okay, leads himself into temptation. We'll take a break now. And we'll come back and let's see how far we can go. We're looking at pressing forward and looking at some dynamic, you know, spiritual, what I call spiritual dynamics, embracing God's plan for your life. What exactly do we do? What are the scriptures said to us? And we're looking at Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. You know, I count myself, you know, not to have, I count not myself to have apprehended. So I've not arrived. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward, focusing on those things which are before me. We'll come back and we'll look at this in a more deeper dimension. Catch you on the other side of the break.
So I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. Your name, Jesus, you deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. And now my shame is gone. I stand amazed in your love. Your grace goes on, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore. Worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name,
morning. Lovely track there. Yes, Lord, you're worthy. You deserve our praise. There is no one like our God, no one like Jehovah, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Ancient of Days, Monarch of the Universe, our sufficiency, our provider, the eternal Rock of Ages, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Father, Lord, there is none like you. We bless your name. We thank you for how far you've brought us in our session today. We're looking at pressing forward in our walk in the Spirit. It's so important that we maintain focus, you know. And so let's try and look into, yeah, that scripture I was trying to mention just before the break, James chapter 1 and verse 14. Okay, and it states, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Now, this evil desire, some scriptures will call it the lust of the eyes. You know, you're looking at something. You know how it is when you're looking and looking, and I want to have it. Here we go. Then some of you are looking at looking. I would like to taste it. And there we go. You are drawn by your senses. You see, you want, you hear, you want to jump into the conversation. You taste, you perceive the smell, you know, the aroma. Hey, these things will lure us out of our protected zone. Let me explain that. You remember, you can do your homework, the life of Job. When the enemy wanted to tempt Job, and he told the Lord that because of this hedge you have put around him, if you remove this hedge, if you remove the things you have blessed him with, if you know there's certain things that he will deny you. And the Lord said, well, as long as you don't touch him, you can do whatever you want. There things the enemy has no right to touch. He has no right to lay hold upon you, but he will entice you. Hello, somebody. He will try to lure you. Okay, he's trying to pull you away. How many of you have trends that you are connected with and every day on your phone? They are trying to draw you away. Have you started trying to scroll, and then before you know what, 5 minutes, 30 minutes, three, what are you looking at? And you have homework, you have deadline. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So he's saying here, but every person is tempted when they are dragged away, drawn away by their own desires and enticed. Okay, so this verse highlights that temptation stems from internal desires within us, okay, rather than external forces. External forces can be utilized using imagery of a fishing lure, okay, to describe how a person or evil cravings, evil lustings drag an individual towards that external destruction. Okay, so the key details regarding James chapter 1 and verse 14 is that the source of temptation is clarifies that temptation comes from within, even though the enemy can be using something. So they can have these thoughts. Every man is tempted. There can be thoughts. Unless you are drawn towards those thoughts, sin is not conceived. I want you to understand that. You have to be drawn away, enticed by what you see, what you have heard, by the pride of life. And then you are taking consideration. That sin, that thought is now conceived in your heart. Then you are fully into the realm of temptation. So it clarifies that this temptation comes from within, specifically from one's own desires, not from God. The process it describes being lured or enticed, okay? Process similar to a fishing hook where desire conceives and gives birth to sin. So where the desire that you have through your lusting of the eyes, through the desire of your flesh, once that conceives in the heart, then it births sin. Okay, the consequence is that in verse 14 focuses on enticement. It sets up the next verse, which states that this, when full grown, leads to death. Okay, so when we're looking at pressing forward, he says these things that are behind, okay, we put them to death, but we learn what we need to learn from them, and we focus on going forward. So you have to look back. What was it that caused you to stumble? let us look at a typical example. The little kid in the playground, once he's playing with his friend, if he stumbles and he falls and he scratches his hands, he cries and he gets up and starts to run. You as an adult, if you fall on something, there's a way you look at that trip, that thing that tripped you, because it must not happen again. It's very embarrassing. Hello, am I talking to anybody here? So the way an adult responds to a fall is different from the way a child responds to the fall. These things are written for our learning. We are to learn from them. And if we take time to meditate on the scriptures, okay? So it's part of the passage urging believers to take responsibility for their own choices. It was your choice to be lured. It was your choice to be enticed. It was you that was drawn away because of what your eye was seeing. Okay? It is you that were drawn away because of what you were hearing. You wanted to go and... Am I talking to anybody here? So something has to lure you, but it's your choice to reject it. It's your choice not to be drawn away. It's your choice not to be enticed. And if you don't go down that rabbit hole, then sin is not conceived. Okay? So for their choices, rather than blaming God or blaming anybody, okay, to find strength to resist temptation. That should be a prayer point. Now, the other way of looking at it is this. This is your space, your sphere of influence, okay, where you can control what thoughts are coming into. Look at your airstrip, your territory, all right? If there's unwanted thoughts coming in your direction, you're not going to give them room to settle down, to land, and to dispatch their cargo, and you are standing there. Then he will bring anxiety with his friend and fear, and then they have their cousin and all their relatives. Before you know what, you'll be overwhelmed. But if you had resisted, okay, that thought, you do not respond or engage with it, you disperse it from your territory, then sin is not conceived. And then we don't have to go through the rabbit hole of everything. The Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but it leads to sin and destruction. So lovely people, a careful study. We recognize we live our lives in spheres. We need to find balance, okay, and joy through divine guidance. So studying the scriptures here really helps us to understand. It says now in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imagination, thoughts. What is that imagination? Have you had an imagination? You want to start dwelling upon it? Hey, it can carry you down a rabbit hole. It can carry you into imagining all types of things. So you cast down every imagination, every high thing that exalts itself, okay, against the knowledge of God. That's your focus. You are seeking to understand the one that you're relating with. You are seeking to understand his instructions, his guidance to you. You are seeking to understand how you are led by the Spirit, how to walk with the Spirit. Okay? That is your focus. So anything, any imagination, any high thought that exalts itself against this primary focus of the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every such thought to the obedience of Christ. That is what the scripture, you know, admonishes that we do. So when we're looking now at the role of thought in pressing forward, okay, our thoughts have a profound impact on our actions. So you have to think it, you have invited the thought, you have considered it, it's conceived now. Now it's going to impact your action. All right? And our overall direction in life. So all of you know that without saying, the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. So let's just look at prophecy. If you think you will not, then you will not. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you feel that you will succeed, then you will succeed. Whatever you desire, it will be. So what is it that you desire? Do you want to succeed, or do you want to tell yourself you can't make it? Whichever one, the world will throw answers in your direction. So choose this day who you will serve. Choose this day whose report you want to listen to. Isaiah 53 helps us. It says, you know, whose report will we believe? Okay? To whom is the arm, the strength, the power, the assistance, the support of God given to? To them that have believed the counsel and the report of God. Isaiah chapter 53 from verses 1 to 5. Have a look at that. You know, so it is a choice that you make. All right. Now, furthermore, when you're having these thoughts, because they're thoughts that can be contrary to the will of God that can lead into sin, then we have to have a kind of filter, okay? A kind of filter to the type of thoughts that we're contending with. Now let's look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Now this scripture gives us some more insight and advice on what we can do. It advises us to focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, what is admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. By filling our minds with such thoughts, we cultivate a mindset that reflects God's goodness and propels us towards God's plans for us. Do you catch that? So filling your minds, filling your heart with godly thoughts. Okay? If you've never made the distinction what is godly from what is ungodly, and any thought that comes, you are drawn and enticed, you can see how you get easily into sin. It's a choice. So study to show yourself approved. Okay? Make sure that you understand there's a clear demarcation. The thoughts that are in agreement with the focus and the goal that you want to achieve. Again, we look at Corinthians. It says, any high thing or high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, watch out for them. You deal with those, you cut them down, you put them to death. That's why you constantly have to die daily, because these thoughts are bound. Okay? You must not be drawn by them. You must not be drawn into them. You must not make choices that, you know, encourage the development. It's like a seed. These thoughts come in, they're sown in your heart, you conceive, then it begins to grow into sin. Okay, in the same vein, you don't consider them, you cut them down, you don't entertain them, then there is not going to be any room for that thing to grow. So the enemy, you need to identify what the enemy uses, these ungodly thoughts, to bring you into sin. Then you also need to understand what is it that God uses to bring you into righteousness, into his will and his plan for your life. And that's godly thoughts. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatever things are pure, if there's any good report, if it's praiseworthy, if it's excellent, if it's admirable, I would take some time to really have a clear, do a Bible study on godly thoughts. You know, anxiety, fear, anxiousness. No, that's not God has not given you a spirit of fear. There's no room for fear. There's no need to fear. But except we really take time to study and understand these things and how they impact, like I said, our thoughts, the actions we take, and subsequently our behavior, then we will remain in that loop. Remember the valley of indecision, where you are only using the information that you have. There's no other choice. There's no other option. But God has made a way. Okay? He overcame the things that we are contending with. He's made a way. So because he made a way, he died, was buried, and he resurrected, we too can overcome. He made an open shame, triumphing over every strategy of the enemy. God has won the victory for us. You have been declared the righteousness of God. You have the victory. You are seated with him in heavenly places. You are a co-heir with Jesus. You are an overcomer. You are a barrier crosser. You are a pioneer. You need to believe that, and you are prepared to go through the process. And whatever you believe you can do, be it unto you according to your faith. The Lord will make it happen for you in Jesus' name. You know, the Bible says with man, some things are possible or impossible. But the Bible says if thou can believe, all things are possible. So if you can believe the counsel of God, and with God nothing is impossible, then whatever you desire is possible. Am I talking sense to anybody here? Okay? I know a lot of people that have, well, I want to be careful with this word. Some people have acted their way by confession, and they've taken delivery, just believing, you know, act this way. Act like you believe that what you're believing for is true. Catch that. Act like you believe that what you're believing for is true. Okay? I am going to make it. So I act like I've made it. I'm happy. I rejoice. I'm constantly celebrating. I'm giving God thanks. I've not graduated though. But do you see what I'm saying? I believe so much I will make it. I believe that God will take it. I've committed everything to Him. He who has begun that work will complete it. And so I'm trusting Him. I'm thanking Him. I show up every day in His presence. Father, Lord, this is my first module. I'm just thanking You. You will take me to my second module. You will take me to my first semester, then the second trimester. And it, okay, there you go. Oh, thank You, Holy Spirit. We have reached year one. Glory be to God. I'm just here again to thank You. This is me this morning thanking You for another year behind us we are going through. Am I talking to somebody? You do that intentionally. You act like what you believe and you're expecting is true, and you will get to that destination, and the Lord, seeing your faith, will see you through. I want to encourage somebody today. You are not going to become an overcomer. The Bible declares you an overcomer. You are not the tail, you are the head. You are a pioneer. You don't understand what that means. Where nobody has gone, you will break ground. You will be the one that will break ground. You'll be a trailblazer. You'll be an example. People will learn from the steps you have taken. God is going to use you as a message to your generation. Even through the things that you have gone through, how you came through, how you overcome, you'll be able to teach. You'll be a coach to other people. You will be a mentor. Am I talking to somebody here? I see you taking over. I see you going to the top. I see you taking leadership roles. I see you being nominated for the highest spot. I see them creating space at the top because you have come. Am I talking to somebody? I see them creating a role because of you. Listen, it's up to you what you want to imagine. I see the Lord giving you that company. I see you becoming a CEO. I see you being invited to the board. I see you being on the board of trustees. I see you being one that makes decisions that influence so many. I see heaven trusting you because you were resourceful. I see heaven trusting you because you were faithful with that which was committed to you. Do not you know, take lightly, you know, do not undermine, do not discard the days of your humble beginning. Like a child that is learning to crawl and learn to stand, you too will walk, you will run, you will be a champion, you will be good in sports, you will do exceedingly well. The Bible says we are able to discern the difference between these two categories of thought by reason of discernment. Discernment is not an ability of academic, you know, exploits or skills. No, it's your capacity to research on the Word of God, the content that you have, so that you are led by the Spirit and able to discern what is true, what is godly, what is not. Am I making sense to anybody? But it's by reason of engaging in the Word, by reason of spending time in the present, by reason of you being led by the Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. So pressing forward, you know, to what God is doing in your life requires intentional action. We've broken down some of the things that you need to do, and there are some practical steps that can help you to align more closely with God's direction. In our next session, we will try and look at some of these in more detail. Looking at things like reflecting and acknowledging. So you reflect on what has happened. Okay, you need to take time to reflect, to evaluate. Even like the year 2026, we're in the fourth month now. People, first quarter, you need to reflect. How far have you gone? How much progress have you made? Have you been pressing forward? Have you been standing in the valley of indecision, or are you looking behind? May you not become a pillar of salt. May the Lord continue to help you to press forward. We look at divine guidance in more detail. We look at cultivating a positive mindset, which is absolutely important for you to press forward. Obviously, there's activation and taking action, okay? And embracing community, whether it's your teachers, people around you, a network of, you know, godly minded people or people that are similarly minded with you, that can help, that can teach, that can coach, that can mentor. It's wise. The Bible says in the multitude of counsel you wage war, you know. And so at some point, when you have embraced the community, the support system around you, trust me, if you can take some of these steps, it will help you to press forward. It will help you to move faster into your expected end, and it will make your arrival sure. It will give you a lot of confidence and boost your confidence. These things are written for our learning. We have them in the scripture. There are men and women that practice this, and their testimonies abound in the scripture. There are men and women around you, and their testimonies also, you know, abound in your community. I pray, Father, that what we have learned today, Lord, these words we have taken in by your Spirit, like the words that you have given to us that we have received today, let them be like a seed that finds a deep root, you know, finds good ground in our hearts. Let them grow. Help us to know how to cultivate them. Help us to study, to do our due diligence, how to be obedient, how to be willing, how to comply, how to utilize the new heart that you have given to us. That new heart enables us to obey you. It is you that causes us to make progress. And I pray, Lord, we will yield to your leading, to your guiding, to your instruction, and we will make good use of our time. Thank you, Father, for hearing us. To you alone be all the glory and the praise. Lovely people, another session has come to another end. It's been a lovely time with you. That was a brief session on just pressing forward, you know, and embracing God's plan for your life. So God has a plan for you. You have to understand some spiritual dynamics. You have to be consistent. You have to be disciplined. You must be focused, you know, and be prepared to do whatever it will take to arrive at your destination. And the Lord helping you, the Bible says, you will do valiantly well. You know, he causes us to triumph on every side, in every sphere. May the Lord continue to cause there to be shouts of rejoicing in your tabernacle, in your home, in your community, in your academic space, in your workspace, in every sphere that you step into. The Bible says the steps of the righteous are ordered and ordained by God. The Lord give you victory on every side. Thank you for your time today. It's been a lovely time being with all of you. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday and bye for now.
Voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.